Yes, are you going to adjust your SWR and all of that? That is your the hairpin match. That's what that is, or gamma match, or whatever kind of setup you're going to use there. But that's where you will adjust your SWR.
That so. Is there, let me make sure I got this, is there going to be an issue if I use an aluminum beam with aluminum directors? I know this is a, this may not be a may not know the answer here, and that's okay, but it, and use a copper driven element, and the reason that I'm suggesting this is that welding aluminum is not the easiest thing in the world to do for me. Other people are really good at it, but I can, you know, I can do a decent job at it, but when it's really thin, I have to really focus on what I'm doing. So if I can change the type of material on the driven element to something that's going to hold the heat a little bit more, or maybe just I need to just redesign the whole hairpin match portion of it, that's probably going to be the best thing to do. And don't weld anything off. Just make something that's adjustable so that I can adjust that. That's probably going to be the best answer to that. So just disregard that question. I'll find another way to adjust the hairpin match. So, all right, with that said, last question. Let me let this drop. When I do my SWR adjustment to try to get the adjust the SWR, I'm assuming that reflector and director is going to affect things a little bit. I'll just have to experiment and figure out what to do about that. But understanding how a dipole is so sensitive to SWR, as far as, you know, height above ground and things like that, how is the best way to adjust SWR on a beam that I cannot necessarily put into free space? Is there, you got any tips or tricks for that? Anybody?
Comment. For TZW, I haven't listened to the whole conversation. I just did want to add that it makes a kind of a difference, especially when you're modeling the thing, whether or not you have those directors and stuff insulated from the boom, or if you're using, you know, conductive material and you're like welding directors and the reflector and stuff to the boom itself. So that makes a rather big difference. But and that hairpin match, well, it's just a matching network. I think there's two or three kinds of them, the gamma match, and it's a lot like how you adjust a J-pole, you know, with that little matching stub. But anyway, somebody may have already said that, and I'm just reiterating it. So carry on, soldier, AN4TZW.
KI4DOS. Chad, the easiest way to, the way that I was taught years and years and years ago, if you cannot adjust the beam up in the air, you can get it close if it's, you know, put it 4 or 5 feet off the ground. And once you get it up, it's going to change. But a man a whole lot smarter than me told me, he said, if you'll take that beam and stand it straight up, put the reflector on the ground, you know, point the director straight up, you can adjust your SWR and get it real close. it's still going to change some, but it won't be like it's 4 feet off the ground, because you've got more air around everything else. And that reflector is doing what you said. It's reflecting, and that's the reason they named it that, I guess. But if you'll point that, then you know, just stand it on end on the reflector, point it straight up, and then you can adjust your SWR. It will not change that much. It will change some, but it won't change that much.
KO4NUE. So, oh, Gary, that's funny, because when I started to build my first dipole, I stopped and talked with Roland about it for a little bit, and he warned me. Now, Chad, don't you get focused on this one-to-one match. You will absolutely pull your hair out trying to do it. And you just get it as close as you can and leave it, just leave it be. So, I understand exactly what you're saying. And I haven't forgot what Roland taught me, because what Roland said about the thing, because after I built it, he, you know, went by and was telling him about it, and he just started giggling and said, yeah, okay, so tell me about, you know, getting the SWR right on it. And I said, well, I like to pull my hair out rolling. And he says, I told you not to, you know, and he's right. So if I can get, okay, so if I can just basically turn the antenna up on its end and point the directors up into space and have the reflector pointing down, I should be able to get close enough so that when it's on my staff to be close enough to deal with. Am I hearing that right?
Well, that's the way I adjusted my Mosley to start with. I stood it up on end and pointed it up, and I don't know if the aliens up there heard me transmitting or not, but I didn't get anything back from them. So, but that's the way I did my Mosley when I put it up, when I put it together, and SWR on it is way down, and I'm happy with it. It, like I said, if it radiates, it's an antenna. If it don't, it's a bird perch. KI4DOS, y'all carry on.
Before you go, Gary, I want to tell you, me and Anna went up to Brevard the other day, this weekend, and we stopped off in the town there to go into this little antique store kind of thing. And they have got this huge tower there behind the building that I guess the city owns, or whoever owns it. But, I mean, it has got all kinds of microwave reflectors on it. I bet you there's 100 of them on it, all different shapes and sizes. Saw a couple of antennas up there, and Anna was looking at it, and there's about 8 buzzards perched up there on the microwave, on the little microwave reflectors. And she starts counting, and she says, I said, honey, what are you counting? And she says, well, there's 8 bird perches up there, and the rest of them are antennas. I knew exactly what she was thinking. So you've got her convinced that the ones that were not transmitting are the bird perches, and the ones that have got RF on them, the birds don't perch on. So good deal, Gary. You did good. You're teaching us both.
I'm saying that that the birds won't rest on an antenna that will transmit. I'm just saying that I was told that if it radiates, it's an antenna. If it does not radiate, it's a bird perch. You know, birds will perch on a power line, you know, And I asked, Joey told me one time, she said, you know why the birds don't get electrocuted? And I said, no, why? She said, they got insulated feet. KI4DOS.
I understand what you're saying. Let this drop. Let's just leave that where it is. She's got it in her mind the way it works, and that's where we're going to leave it. So, and I'm okay with that. So, I think she's probably convinced there's eight of them up there that wasn't working. I didn't say anything. I just said, oh, yeah, that's right. That's what Gary talks about all the time, those bird perches. She said, something must be wrong with them. I said, you're right. You're exactly right.
I believe that tower belongs to the police department, if I'm not mistaken, Chad. If you're talking about the one that's right in the middle of town there in Brevard.
I'm talking about, and I'm telling you, I don't know if you've looked at that thing lately, but my goodness, that thing has got, oh, I don't bet you probably 50 or 60 of them up there, all different shapes and sizes and all, but it's just, it looks like something from outer space with all the reflectors on it, but we've been noticing since we got into the hobby, you know, we starting to see the antennas on the car and on the cars and the trucks, and then you know, starting to see all the towers and, you know, what kind of antennas are on the towers and this, that, and the other. But I mean, I kind of recognize that microwave stuff. I assume it's microwave. I'm assuming it's up in the gigahertz range, but we just, you know, just making a little funny joke about it, and just all kind of things on it. It's just a monstrosity of a looking thing.
Brevard, coming from Hendersonville, you can see a big red and white tower, and you'll notice that it's absolutely huge. I can't remember whose tower it is, but I looked it up, and it's several hundred feet taller than the World Trade Center. I mean, it's just huge. I think it's Fox Carolina News or something. KN4TZW.
I appreciate it, bud. Okay, fellas, that's all I have. I hope I haven't occupied the space for anybody else, but thank you for your help, and I will shoot y'all a picture of this thing when I get it, you know, get it figured out. I got to start hunting some material up next. But, you know, when I get it built, I'll, you know, let you know how it works. So, thank you, fellas. It's KO4NUE, and I'm gonna step down, but I'm gonna be listening.
Damn. Chad, what frequency are you building that antenna for?
I haven't decided yet. I just haven't really thought about it. I suspect it'd probably be somewhere close to 145.330 is what I'm thinking. But I haven't. Everything's on paper right now. So, you know, when it's on paper, you can change it.
Change on what? I thought you was building the HF set of beams.
Won't I be a little? I can weld, but that's a little bit long. I'd have to figure something else out. I'd have to figure out how to shorten or lengthen electrically, and then you're getting into that old nasty word. So I'll just leave that where it is.
I am high as a kite. I had to go back to a eye, ear, and throat specialist today, and she said she had never seen nothing like my mouth. She said it was, she wasn't going to use the word tumor, but it's something that's got to be taken care of immediately. And she's got me set up to see another specialist said if they hadn't called me by Friday to call her back and tell them to get her on the phone, she's got to talk to me. Because this is something that's got to be taken care of. And she put me on them doggone Oxycontins. That's what everybody ODs on. I told her that, ma'am, I ain't too sure about that. I just soon take my Tylenol extra strength. She said, no, I don't even see how you're eating, how you're sleeping or anything, but I'm not hurting right now, but I'm good about calling if I can get my daughter to come walk me home. So with that, I'm going to say good night to y'all. I got to get up there and get in bed before I fall out down here. So this is K4OIM. I'll be clear with all you guys. 7-3.
Be safe. Appreciate you. K4NUE, I'll be standing by.
Don't you have a good night and pay attention to what they say. We want to keep you around. And good night to you. KK4JBQ.
Please walk KO4HKX.
KO4NUE, KK4JBQ.
Go ahead, Larry.
One thing that's puzzling me, and I think I'd be remiss unless I said something about building a prototype, something that's easier to build, and if you need to make adjustments, you can make adjustments, take your notes, and when you go to build the actual thing and do the welding and all that, you've got all your locations for every element of that Yagi, and it's already a proven performer with your prototype that you've built out of something like an old tape measure. And there's plans for tape measure Yagis everywhere. They even make them so you can fold them and put them in a pouch. People who do direction finding want something that's portable and collapsible, and they use old tape measures to make their Yagis. But just to prove out the concept that you're thinking of and get everything in line, working with something that's easier might, just to prove it out. That's all I want to say about that. Oh, and you and I spoke about the meeting on the 27th and making sure that my installation of Zoom is adequate. I wondered if there's going to be any time between now and then that we might do that.
We're going to leave the deer camp probably in the morning and head on back to the house. One other thing I was going to tell you is, so on Christmas morning, I didn't get to, me and my wife, we do a big gift for each other every year at Christmas. Well, this year I opted not to receive a Christmas gift so that I could defer my Christmas gift after Christmas, because see, things goes on sale after Christmas, see. So you get more bang for your buck. And this is the advantage to getting turning on your 50th birthday, is you start to learn to use that noodle more than your back. So I bought me a new radio, and I got a Yaesu 400X, I think, and I got notification, I don't know, about an hour or two ago that UPS had dropped it off and it has been delivered. So I'm chomping at the bit to get home and see, see my new radio and start messing with it. But to answer your question, I will be home tomorrow, and I'll give you a holler tomorrow and see if we can work something out. But let me let this drop, Larry. Some interesting emails after the net on Monday night, and you know, we're just all excited about our guest speaker, and you know, we're just really, really thankful that he's gonna come and speak to us on Zoom. That was really nice of him, and we're just really excited.
Robert's that kind of guy. He'll go to the ends of the earth, and you know, he has. Amateur radio is different in Robert's head. It's not just a hobby. it's not just for fun. He's quite committed, and as you might imagine, someone who's the Greenville County coordinator for Aries and have other amateurs that are looking to him for direction, how they prepare themselves for emergencies and the like. Never been on a team like that, but you have. And the guy at the point is always, he's always sacrificing. He's always giving. Don't you know? KK4 JBQ.
I just was really impressed with him, and he just you can tell he's a giver. And he just enjoys being able to help. I mean, we talked on Zoom for a little while. I don't know. We talked probably 20, 30, maybe a little more minutes. Just yakking. You know, we talk about anything really. You know, it didn't take long to both of us to show our enthusiasm for, you know, the topic at hand. But we were really excited about that, and glad that we made contact. So he is taking the slides that I've got, and he's gonna clean that up and put the pertinent information that I know is pertinent in there that he has collected that I didn't know anything about. And he's going to take care of it. And I just can't tell you how excited some of the club members are. I mean, they're just really excited he's going to do that. So we appreciate the contact there.
Let me ask you about your new radio. Is that a mobile rig?
But it's primarily a mobile. And it's got the faceplate is, there's, you know, some of the radios have a detachable faceplate. Well, this one is just a control head that you couldn't attach it to the radio if you wanted to. It just doesn't work that way. There's a control head that, you know, has a wire that goes to the body of the radio. And I'm going to put that out of the way because my truck, the way the console is built, I have absolutely, there's no way, it is impossible to get a radio in there without drilling some kind of hole in my console, and I'm not going to do it. So, the company I bought it from, they have technical support that will help you. You know, you tell them what you want to do, and they'll say, oh, well, this is, you know, here's this and that and da-da-da. So he suggested a special mount that's going to work really well to hold the control head. And I am convinced that Yaesu has finally solve their complicated menu problem. And they have evidently put it in this radio because it looks pretty simple to me. It's, you know, a lot simpler than that $9.91 I got. Not complaining about it, but just saying that they've simplified things a little bit or made it more user-friendly.
The radio that has menus develops a reputation. And some of them are good, good reputation, and some of them are just the worst things you've ever put a finger on. Well, so I'm taking a look at the picture of it, and it is beautiful, beautiful radio. I have something similar. It happens to be a Kenwood with a remote head. And the mount that I chose is something, it's a very stiff gooseneck that I can put the mount on, and so it can live right up near the dashboard, but it doesn't have to be attached. It bolts down. You just loosen a bolt on on the passenger seat and tighten her down real good, and that gooseneck, just you can put it just anywhere you want. I found that to be really convenient. KK4JBQ.
KO4NUV. So this one is a gooseneck, actually, and it bolts under the seat bolt. Under the seat. So you pull the bolt out where the seat bolts in the floorboard, and you slide that up underneath the seat, put the bolt back in, and then it's basically a piece of pipe that comes up and curves over the dash. But I also have one that fits in a cup holder, and you rotate the adjustment nut on it, and there's three stanchions that pop out, kind of like a three-jaw chuck on a lathe. And it basically tightens itself up in the cup holder. But the 2980 I've got is so heavy, it just won't, you know, that little thing just won't support it. But now that I can move the radio under the seat and just support a really light control head, I'm kind of partial to that. And let me let this thing drop. Is that it comes with, I know you're going to laugh now, but hey, I'm the techie kind of guy, you know, all the little gadgets, I got to have my gadgets, and half of them don't do a thing, but it's just a gadget, you know, so the microphone, the microphone's got a camera on it, so you could, you know, you could take a picture of something. It's got a slot for an SD card, so you put the SD card on, you know, in the radio. You can send all your configurations to the SD card, or you can send all your pictures to the SD card as well. So the nice thing about that is that I can program my channels on, you know, RT systems, put my SD card into the computer, and push all of my frequencies and everything else I want to put on there on the SD card, put it right in the radio, and move it over to memory into the radio, and I'm set, and don't have to take a laptop out there or bring the radio in. I mean, it's just a convenience thing, but I'm tickled to death with it.
Gosh, that sounds great. That really does, and I'm glad you have it. Well, that's an interesting thing that you're going to build. I'm hoping that it serves its purpose. I know you've been wanting to make a contact with another station that's not that terribly distant, but that you've got some issues, and hope it works out for you. Another thing, I wonder. I got some things to work out with my Zoom installation, and one of them is lighting. The camera, you know, is inexpensive, and it doesn't have a built-in light. So I wonder what you use for a light. At 7:30 at night, it's going to be completely dark outside, so I don't have light coming through my windows. The overhead light is really harsh in here, in the center of the room, you know. And other lights wash out on the screen. The light by my chair here washes the screen out. What do you do for a light?
KO4NUE. Oh, Larry, I'm afraid to tell you. I'm afraid you're going to laugh at me. So, my daughter. Now, I want to be clear here. I did not order this, but my daughter ordered it because she was doing some, because of high school when COVID hit. You know, they had to do basically Zoom on a computer to attend class. Well, you know, teenagers, they're concerned about, you know, how they look and clothes and all that kind of stuff. So she ordered a light on Amazon. It's called a Halo, and it's basically a LED light that's shaped in a circle. So I don't know if you noticed, but if you watch any YouTube videos or TikTok videos or things like that, which I'm not really into, but if you look at their eyes have this ring on their pupil, and that's kind of what this light is supposed to do, is that, you know, once she left it, it got put in the, you know, Salvation Army pile, and I needed a light for Zoom, and I was thinking, okay, well, you know, maybe this will be just enough light to do it. So I put it in there in the computer room, and the kids laugh at me when they come in there and see the thing, because it's, I think it's considered to be kind of a cosmetic light. And I'm just, you know, I'm just not a cosmetic kind of person. But it puts off just enough light to, you know, to do the job. But I also have a small desk lamp in the corner over there that does just fine. It's not an issue. But let me let this drop, Larry. To you is that I don't know this for sure, but I'm pretty sure that the Zoom software, when you're image comes through the stream, the software will bring it within certain parameters. So I guess what I'm trying to say is don't worry about it. It's not a big deal. But we will test it if you are worried about it and get it straightened out. But I don't think it's not going to be a big deal.
Well, I was just wondering how you might have solved that, and I have used lights similar to that in photomicrography, using a DSLR camera for close-up photography. And the things that I took pictures of at the time were minerals, samples and such as that, for a geology class that I was taking at the time. And those things don't have pupils. And I think I've seen some photographs, it's really eerie looking with the circles and the pupils. Yeah, I've seen that before. And there are different kinds of ring lights or close-up lights that you can put on the front of a lens. The ring light is probably the most convenient one to use. And you do get, on anything that doesn't have eyes, you do get a very broad, even light distribution with the ring light. Anyway, I'll be looking at your pupils, and that's really cool. I really think that's cool, and it also shows ingenuity, you know. And don't you let anything go to waste. No, I'm thinking about using a little light panel. I'm not sure about its color balance, but a little light panel that I used for tracing some years ago. It's actually, you know, you put your items on the panel itself and do the tracing because the light is showing through the papers. It's very good for that. But I thought, since it's battery operated, I have in my station here, I have overloaded the 15 amp line here. I've overloaded it already, and I can't add more, plug anything in. This house is wired with 14 gauge wire, so that's going to be maximum of 15 amps on the line. And so, anyway, it's good talking with you. It really is, and I know it's getting late, and everybody's had a hard few days, maybe. But I think I'll be heading out. I'll let you go. You have a good night, Chad, won't you? KK4JPQ.
Curious, and I appreciate you dropping by. And you know, my phone's blowing up, you know, already, talking about my beauty light. So, you know, that's okay. I'm gonna own it. I'm not afraid to own it. But you know, I saw it in the scrap pile and I needed a light. And when the kids started laughing at me, I'm just like, "What are you laughing at?" Well, you know, "Dad, you got a beauty ring in the ham shack." And I'm like, "What's a beauty ring?" And so I got enlightened pretty quick, but that's okay. I'll take it. just keep throwing them. But anyway, it was nice talking to you, Larry, and I'll be in touch with you tomorrow. I got some other things I want to run by you bring you up to date on. But appreciate the conversation. Please tell Miss Donna we said hello. And I hope it's all as well your way. So with that, this is KO4NUE 73, Larry and Donna. Y'all have a great night. I'll be clear.
Free chat. KK4JBQ clear.
4DTY, KO4NUE. DTY, what you doing? What you doing, pretty boy? Ring. I do not want your beauty ring, but I wish you would have had that beauty ring the first time I met you. It would have helped. You know, Gary says I'm the second ugliest man in the world, so I'm okay with that, you know. I don't have a problem with that. I'm a functional kind of fella. I don't need it to look good. I just need it to work.
I hear you there. I got to pick on you. I miss you, dude. It felt like I haven't really got to talk to you lately, and haven't really got to hear you guys talk much.
KO4HK.
Here he comes now.
Cracking up over the beauty ring, or is it a halo?
All that popped into my head, let me make sure I got it. I feel pretty, so pretty. All I can imagine is Chad dancing around in his ham shack with that ring light singing that song.
KO4NU, y'all got me cracked up. Well, you know, hey, it's a little late now. I'm going to have to own it. So, yeah, I got it. It's got the little adjustments on it so you can change, you know, how bright it is. You can dim it. You can change, you know, all the different, you know, harshnesses of the light, I guess is the right word. But, yeah, I'm not ashamed. It's a beauty ring, and it's sitting right under my monitor. And next time we have a Zoom meeting, I'll flash it on and off for you so you can see it.
go ahead, Patrick.
Don't even know what to say. I'm sitting over here laughing.
I don't know where to go from there.
You. Let me make sure I got it. I can't be bright and shiny all the time, you know. So I saw it sitting there in the box to go to Salvation Army, and I said, what is this? And then I said, well, it's just some kind of light Abby had for class. And I said, okay, well, it's got a little clamp on it, you know, so you can squeeze it, you can clamp it anywhere you want. And I said, yeah, I'm going to use it. So I put it right there under the radio. But Daniel was going to tell you was, as far as what I've been up to, I guess, is have a couple projects in the shop. And I've been working with other couple of club members on doing 2-meter packet stuff. So we have got all the configurations figured out. And when you want to get your 991 set up to do that, we've got one of the club members. Let me let this drop. They have put everything in a spreadsheet form. And it's just, you know, checking the box. Step one, step two, step three. On, you know, how to set it up, how to configure it, and you know where to get their software. So far we've been successful with HF, WinLink, 2-meter. WinLink, 2-meter, sending a text message to the phone, but we're really proud that we've got peer-to-peer figured out, so you don't have to use a repeater. You just open the software on the radio and the computer, and you just send it straight to another station's radio. And then your radio picks it up and decodes it, and boom, there it is. So we've got all that formatted and cleaned up. So, you know, since, you know, you're a club member, when you're ready, let me know, and we'll get the radio set up step by step and get it up and running.
I think that'll be cool, and I'm excited to kind of get back in. I had to kind of lay low here for a little while. I still have another 2.5 hard weeks. But I'm thinking come the first week of February, it'll open up a little bit for me and I won't be so hard up on trying to get jobs completed. But then I can kind of get back into this a little bit more. But, yeah, I'm excited that you've figured out a lot of that. The text and the email stuff and just doing those connections, that'll be fun. Is that something that we need to, like, get together, me bring my radio, or just something to do over the phone? What do you think?
I mean, if you want to, you're welcome to. But the way that this club member has done it is, I mean, there's pictures and everything. You can either print it off, or you can, you know, go to the vault and view it, and just, you know, okay, well, I need to go to setting 39 in the radio and change it to this. And I think there's like 15 settings in the radio that you'll need to set up. And then, you know, you download a TNC and a modem, and boom. I mean, it took us almost a month to do that. But we've got it figured out, documented, cleaned up, and we call it the beta testing. So this coming next week, we're going to change the settings on the radios, and this station has a husband, and that's an amateur call too. So we're going to hand that off to her husband, and then I'm going to hand that off to Anna and say, okay, here, take this and make this work with what we have documented. And then, you know, if there's a point that's a problem, then we'll fix that. But we're at the point now to where we're okay with sending it out to, you know, anybody that needs help with it. So let me let this drop. We've got it figured out to where it's for an ICOM and for a Yaesu. I think we'll try to figure something else out if somebody's got something different. But I mean, man, she did a great job with it. She just, man, she's just really good at that, and she's got it all laid out. Hey, let's put this configuration in, and here, this is what it should look like. Put this software in, and this is what it should look like. I mean, she's got it laid out really nice, just really nice. So when you get, you know, when you get ready and you get a couple hours free time, let me know, and we'll get you on the phone or Zoom or whatever, and say, okay, let's get it working. But it's up and running. We've got it figured out. KO4NUE and KI4DTY, KO4HKX.
KO4HKX. Can you email that to me?
If you give me just a couple more days to get things, let me review that and make sure that what I'm sending you is correct. But yes, I will get it to you. But Patrick, when you get a minute, can we talk about this weekend and see what we're going to do with the antenna or anything?
Sure, whatever y'all want to talk about.
Right. Yeah, I'm good. Y'all go ahead and talk about it. I'll listen. I'm happy to hear, and I may be available if you need me this weekend. I'm not sure. Of course, I don't know what the weather's going to do, but happy to hear.
KO4NUE here. So I've got the control wire coming from the rotor to the control head. So that's taken care of. And the mounting base is, I got a couple of, everything's tacked off. I got to get it welded up. But basically what we're going to do is I've got a base that's got four holes in it, like a pad, an outrigger pad on a, you know, a wrecker or something like that. And in the center of it is two stanchions that come up with a hole in it, and we're going to take your mast, put the pad on the ground. That'll get anchored into the ground, and then the antenna mast will fit on that stanchion, and then there'll be a bolt that goes through it, and that's going to allow the whole mast to pivot. And then once we get, I'm thinking maybe 10 minutes to get it stood up. I mean, that might be wishful thinking, but the way I've got the pad configured, you lay it down where it goes, you take a hammer, you drive in the stakes, and lay the mast down, put the bolt in it, and it's ready to pivot up. The only thing I don't have here is I need to know the control, the rotor is going to mount to that pipe. Do you have another piece of pipe that comes out of the top of the rotor to hook to the beam? That's the only thing I didn't look at.
I do.
Last piece is going to be coax. What do you got? You got coax?
I've got it covered. I've got 200-foot runs here if I need them.
What does that mean? Does that mean do I need to bring the soldering gun and the electrical tool kit? We're going to cut it to fit, or are you just going to leave the excess, or what?
You cut it to fit. I've got it set right now because, like I said, I didn't know where I was going to put it, so I have it coiled up over here, and I'd love to get that straightened out.
Yeah, I'll just bring all that, and we'll configure it right there on the spot, I guess. And the last piece is do have a way to get it into the shack. As far as, you know, is there a hole in the floor or something we can? Because we gotta get a piece of coax through there and the control wires.
There is not a hole in the floor in here. Right now I've got it coming through the window, and I thought about buying one of the bulkheads for the window or making my own where they pass through.
KO4NUE. Give me the dimensions. Give me the width of the window, and be kind of picky with it now. Don't just give me, you know, I know how you mechanics are. You know, okay, well, that's within a half an inch. That's close enough. No, I just need you to get me down to where it's pretty close, you know. And we'll get one made. Just build it out of aluminum, and that way you can, when you want to add something to it, you can, you know, you just poke a hole in it and go that route with it if that's what you want to do.
Well, that's probably what I'm going to do right now. Like I told you, this is not a permanent setup. This is just until I can get the house built where we're going. And right now there's a window unit in that, so all I've done is I've got a piece of five-quarter board that's the same height as the AC unit right there on the side. I can just drill through it, and that's what I've been using.
All right. Well, that's fine. So we'll do that then. But if you want the plate, just give me the width of the window, and I can cut that too. But as far as I can tell, everything's done. Just like I said, I've got to weld everything off, and make sure the bolt hole fits and all, but I've got the bottom section of the staff, so I know what to do. And then I guess the last thing to discuss is going to be, you know, weather for the weekend.
Keeping an eye on it. Right now, they're calling for snow to start up here Saturday morning and then continue through the day. So I'll just have to play that one by ear because there's no point in y'all coming up here if it's snowing and not want to get anywhere near the roof or anything like that, and you won't be able to accomplish anything when it's snowing like that.